For today's class, what I really want to do is just frame a little bit of what I hope to accomplish and what I hope all of us together will build over the next couple of months learning together. And I begin with a comment of the Ksav v'Hakabbalah. The Ksav v'Hakabbalah is a sefer written by Rabbi Yaakov Mecklenburg. It was a sefer written in the early 1800s. And he writes that you'll notice there is a difference when we talk about the Torah and Eretz Yisrael, as it's referred to in the words of the Torah itself, in the Psukim and Chumash, where we refer to the Torah as V'nasati Osa Lachem Morasha. Eretz Yisrael is referred to as a Morasha. The only other time in Chumash where we have the phrase Morasha is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. Says Rabbi Yaakov Mecklenburg, why is it that these two items in particular are referred to as a morasha? Morasha is not the normal word that we would use when we refer to something that is given to us. We usually use the word Yerusha. Yerusha means an inheritance. So what is a morasha? Explains Rabbi Yaakov Mecklenburg as follows. Let's say, for example, Prince William is now in the news, of course, because his wife, the entire world needs to know, is having abdominal surgery, correct? Everybody knows this. None of you follow the news. It's amazing. Okay, I'm jealous of you. So Prince William gets the Yerusha from his father, who is king, and his grandmother, who is the queen. And now he gets all kinds of very expensive items and all kinds of jewelry and all kinds of very important things that are given to him. Now, when they are given to him, what's the understanding when it is bequeathed to him? He doesn't have a right to do whatever he wants with it. The understanding is you are now in the position that your grandmother held and your great-grandmother and your grandfather and everybody else who came before you. All of these items were very precious to them, and the understanding that we have is that you are now being gifted all of these items, that you should then transmit it to the generation that will come after you. What is the difference between a morasha and a yerusha, says the Ksav HaKabbalah? A yerusha means when I have somebody who I'm related to, or who loves me, or who appreciates me, and leaves me over their yerusha, their inheritance. That means they gave me $1 million. I have a right to do whatever I want with it. After I get that gift, if I decide that I want to waste all of it, throw it in the garbage, I can do that. If I decide I want to put it into a mortgage, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a car, I want to enhance my life in a different way, I can do whatever I want with the money. It was given to me as a gift. That is a yerusha. A morasha means when I have something which is an heirloom, which is a legacy. A legacy item, you don't have the right to do whatever you want with. A legacy item is something that there's an expectation that you are going to take care of it, and you are then going to transmit it as a legacy to the next generation that will come after you as well. When we talk about our relationship with Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says in last week's Parsha, V'nasati osa lachem morasha. The expectation is Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, but with an understanding that we are going to give over the land of Eretz Yisrael to those who will come after us, and we will take care of it, and we will look after it, and we will make sure to uphold the greatness of Eretz Yisrael and transmit that unbelievable gift to our children who will come after us. And the same is when we talk about our relationship with Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kehilas Yaakov. When we talk about Torah, it is not a gift that was given to us to do whatever we choose with. The Torah was given to us as a morasha, which means it is a legacy. It is something that was entrusted to us. We are the delegates who were given this gift, and we are the ones who are supposed to then communicate it and impart it to the next generations of Jews who will come after us as well. That is why it is important that we study Torah, because the understanding is that we are the ones who will then have the opportunity to give over all that we represent and all that we have to those who will come after us who want to appreciate the gift of the morasha of the Jewish people as well. We know that the Torah is comprised of two critical components. We have the Torah Shebichsav, and of course we also have the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav means the written Torah. Torah Shebal Peh means that which is oral. Now to us today, the entirety of Torah is written down, but that's not the way it once was. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that the way it's supposed to be is the Torah Shebichsav is supposed to be written, and the rest of the Torah is supposed to be transmitted orally. In fact, the Gemara says, if you then write down, if you canonize the Torah Shebal Peh, you have violated a prohibition in the Torah. You're not allowed to do that. You're supposed to only have it oral, and it's supposed to remain that way. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, why is that so critical? Why is it that there's such an insistence that the oral Torah has to remain oral, and the Torah Shebichsav has to remain in writing? Now today, why is it that both of them are written down? The Gemara says because It came to a point in Jewish history where there was a concern, if we're not going to write this down in a formulated fashion, we are going to forget everything. So that's where we started to write it down. But in principle, it's not supposed to be that way. And the question is, why is there such an insistence that we have the two different components to the Torah as we know it? The Maharal suggests two different interpretations to explain why this is the case. The first one is a very technical reason. Explains the Maharal, when you have the Torah Shebichsav, it is very defined. This is Torah Shebichsav, and that's what it is. Torah Shebal Peh basically elucidates. Torah Shebal Peh clarifies the words of Torah Shebichsav. So take, for example, the Torah says that on the first day of Sukkot, Hulakachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, on the first day of Sukkot, you're supposed to take a pre-Eitz Hadar. What does that mean? You're supposed to take a beautiful fruit. Now, that's very subjective. What you think is beautiful is not what I think is beautiful. Everybody has their own definition of what's beautiful. So how am I supposed to know what to take on the first day of Sukkot to perform the mitzvah that I'm expected to do? We have Torah Shebal Peh that comes along and elucidates what the Torah meant. It's an esrog. Now, if I was given the choice, I would say there are many other more beautiful fruits that I would have chosen in the place of the esrog. But yet, Torah Shebal Peh explains and elucidates what was meant in the original laws of the Torah. When we talk about Hilchos Shabbos, which we're going to learn here, when we describe the Hilchos Shabbos, now that's very interesting, because what does the Torah say about Hilchos Shabbos? Lo sase kol malacha. We're not given very many details other than that. Now, how do we know what is defined as a malacha? How are we supposed to know exactly what is included in the prohibition and what is not? There we have Torah Shebal Peh that comes along and says, well, we have 39 categories of malachos, and in those categories we have subcategories and all the details and all the everything. That's all Torah Shebal Peh that elucidates. Says the Maharal, on a very practical level, if you're going to try to write everything down from Torah Shebal Peh, it will be endless. It is just too much. Look in any Jewish library and you will find over every generation of Jews there have been more and more elucidations that are written, more and more interpretations, more and more people who are trying to understand and offer their own insights into what the Torah Shebichsav actually meant. So it's not limited to a certain finite amount of books that we have, which is Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh is just too vast. It's too big, says the Maharal. And that is why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, He only gave him the Torah Shebichsav in writing, because that was a finite amount of material. But all the Torah Shebal Peh, all of the oral Torah was given over orally, because it would just be impossible to give that out with all the details, with all the specifics. It would just be limitless. It would be infinite. And that is why we have two components. We have Torah Shebichsav as well as Torah Shebal Peh. But now the Maharal then segues into a second reason. And this second reason is something that I find to be so profound, so meaningful, and so instructive for all of us. So let's see what the Maharal writes. Let's read it together. This is in the second paragraph on the sheet. Ve'od nimtza tam b'divrei Rabbeinu zichronam livracha b'medrash. Chazal, he's going to quote a Maimer Chazal that says the following. Let's see, what do Chazal say? Kishaba Kodesh Baruch Hu laseis ha-Torah, when the Ribono Shel Olam, when God came to give the Jewish people the Torah, Amra le-Moshe al-Haseder. Everything was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu in order. So what does that mean in order? What's the order? First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the Psukim in Chumash. Then he taught him the Mishnah, then he taught him the Gemara, and he taught him all the other things he needed to know. But everything was very formulated, very clear. Shenemar, as it says, Vayidaber Elokim es kol ha-dvarim ha-ele. The Ribono Shel Olam imparted to Moshe Rabbeinu kol ha-dvarim ha-ele, which means everything that one ever needs to know about Torah. Okay. Afilu ma'ashi yishal Talmud de-Rabbo. Even a small insight, a small question that we have in our generation that was already taught to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God then instructed Moshe Rabbeinu and said, V'lamda es b'nei Yisrael. I want you now to go and give over everything that I taught you to the Jewish people. Amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu says back to the Ribono Shel Olam, why are you entrusting me with this job? Kasuv ata l'banecha. Why don't you just write everything down? Won't that be easier? Maybe I won't be able to give everything over effectively. Why don't you just write everything down? And then I will give all of the books to the Jewish people to study on their own. The answer is, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is not going to work. Amar Lei, Mivakesh Ani Laseis Osa Lahem Biksav. I would love to give the entirety of Torah in writing. Ela Shegoloi Lefanai. However, God says, I am aware, I'm forecasting into the future, She'asidin umas ha'olam lishlot bahem. There's going to come a time when the Jewish people are going to be in servitude to other nations of the world. Velitel osam ehem, and they are going to steal the Torah from the Jews. V'yiu banai ku'umas ha'olam, and my children, the Jewish people, are going to be like all the other nations of the world. And because of that concern, I'm going to give them the Torah, the Chsav, and I'm going to leave everything else to be the oral tradition. How do you understand that? Asked the Maharal. What does that mean? Because there's going to come a time when they're going to be in exile, when they're going to be in servitude, and therefore we have to make sure that only a part of the Torah is Chsav and the rest of it is Baal Peh. What's the significance? What does it mean? Says the Maharal as follows in the third paragraph. V'davar zeh av shenira pashut. The Maharal writes, even though this seems obvious, hudavar amok me'od. This is actually a very fundamental idea, he says. V'zeh, and what is that? Ki ro'i sheyehe Torah shebal peh v'lo b'chsav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it in this way, that he wants there to be Torah shebal peh. Ki me'achar shehatorah hi miyuchedes li'Yisrael, k'dechsiv. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha ki'ilas Yaakov. We mentioned before that the word morasha means a heritage and not an inheritance, and what the implications of that statement are. Aside from that interpretation, the Gemara also says in Maseches Pesachim, when the Torah says, what does it mean when someone gets engaged? We say that they are mu'urasim zelazet, right? They are engaged to each other. It's also called kiddushin. What does it mean? When a chassan stands under the chuppah and says, hare at mekudeshas li. What does kiddusha mean? What does kiddusha mean?
Holy.
So what does it mean? The chassan turns to the kallah and says, you are holy to me? So that's the question. What exactly does it mean? So kedusha, Rashi explains, it means, harei mekudeshesli does not mean you are holy to me. A man doesn't just make his wife holy. A woman doesn't make her husband holy. They have to grow together and build a holy life and a holy house. But outside of that, that's not what it means, harei mekudeshes. So what did it mean when your husband came to you and said, harei mekudeshes? It means you are separated to me, which means when you were single, you had a right to go and date all kinds of different people and to spend time with whoever you wanted and to do whatever you want. Now you are miyuchedesli. Mekudeshes means set aside. Kedusha means when I have something in the Beis HaMikdash that is the property of Hekdesh, that it's Kedusha, that it's holy. It means not only is it holy, but also it is set aside. Most people cannot use it. It is set aside for that purpose. Kiddushin in a marriage means the same thing. You are now set aside. You have no right to now be involved with all other men. You are now set aside to this relationship and to this marriage. That's what Kiddushin actually means, according to the Rishonim. So the Torah is referred to as Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. Writes the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Al Tikre Morasha Ela Mi'urasa. What does that mean? That word Morasha can actually be reinterpreted to mean Mi'urasa, that you are engaged, you are now set aside. Means the Torah and us are inseparable. Means we are in a marriage, in a relationship with the Torah itself. And since that is our understanding, that we have a relationship with the Torah, therefore says the Maharal as follows, V'lakach, hi mu'urasa li'Yisrael davka ve'ena shayeches la'acherim. If you have kiddushim with someone, if you have a marriage with someone, that means you are set aside to this person and you are not for everyone else. Now you look around the world, everyone has the Torah Shebichsav, everyone has the Bible. So how is that specific to us? How is that something that is a private relationship between the Jewish people and the Torah itself? The answer is, steps in Torah Shebal Peh. And what is that? Ayidei Torah Shebal Peh, says the Maharal, since we have this concept of a Torah Shebal Peh, shehi bepeh ha'adam, that actually requires my mouth. Without my ability to transmit the Torah Shebal Peh, it will not exist. I become the embodiment of the Torah Shebal Peh. I am the Torah. It's not a separate entity. When it's like the way I understand it is as follows. The Torah says when Adam and Chava got married, it says, V'hayu lebasar echad. So what does it mean? They should get married and they should be one body. How can a husband and wife be one body? They're not one body. They're two different people. So what does it mean, V'hayu lebasar echad? So what does Rashi say on Chumash? Chevra, we got to start learning Rashi on Chumash. So what does Rashi say on Chumash? V'hayu lebasar echad means when they get married, the aspiration is they're going to have children. When they give birth to a child, that is basically a connection between the husband and wife. Because you have genetic makeup from the husband that comes, genetic makeup from the wife, and together We have created something that is a basar echad. That is what solidifies our relationship. That shows we are so committed to each other. Look, we just produce something together. If you're committed to a job, you're going to try to create a project in that company because you're so committed to the cause. You want it to be more enhanced. You want it to grow. You want it to be able to project itself even further. So Baha'u'llah Basar Achad means we are so committed to one another, and the expression of our commitment is such that we have now brought into the world a Basar Echad that represents both of us. So when we talk about the Torah being married to us, so what does it mean? There's two ways to have a marriage. You can either have a marriage where you have one entity and another entity, a husband and a wife, where there are two separate entities, and that's wonderful, and it's great. When does it become a very, very deep and profound relationship? When Baha'u'llah Basar Echad. When you become one through something that defines both of you. Says the Maharal, when I have a marriage, an erusin with the Torah, that's very nice. But then the Torah Shebaal Peh is not just a separate entity. I am the Torah Shebaal Peh. It is my mouth that transmits the Torah Shebaal Peh. That means I am the one who represents it. It is me. It's not something separate and apart from me. It is who I am. It is everything about my existence. And that, says the Maharal, is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be. That we should be like the Klaf. We should be like the Torah itself. We are not apart from the Torah. We are the living embodiment of what the Torah itself is supposed to be for ourselves, for our children, and for the Jewish people and the entire world. And therefore, says the Maharal, by design, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to set up and structure the Torah in a way where we have two different components. We have the Torah Shebichsav on the one hand, and we then have the Torah Shebaal Peh. And why is it like that by design? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be a deep and profound relationship. And there could be a no greater and more profound relationship than realizing that we are the physical embodiment of everything that the Torah represents. We are the ones who transmit it, and therefore we are the ones who are going to be those who ensure that the Torah will actually exist and the Torah will survive. And that is the privilege that all of us have. That is the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all of us. There's a lot of knowledge in the world, and there are many great philosophers, and there are many great academics. But our job and our responsibility as being those who hold the Morasha goes way beyond that. We have a responsibility that we are going to be the ones who give over all aspects of the Torah to our children. That is the aspiration of every Jew. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha Kihilas Yaakov. That we have the chance, we have the gift, we have the opportunity to give it all over. In fact, in describing the events of Kabbalah Satorah, the Psukim in Parshas Yisro write that the Torah was first presented to the women, and only afterward was it given to the men. So if you look here in number Beis, Ko Somar LeBeis Yaakov, V'Saged LeVinei Yisrael. The Torah in Parshas Yisro writes that first Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to give it to Beis Yaakov, which means the women, and only afterward to the men. And the Medrash wonders why. Says the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Kedei Sheyuhu Manhigos Espenehem LeTorah. The reason why the Torah was given first to the women, the reason why it's important for all of you to focus on Torah study and to become fluent and understanding of everything that the Torah expects of all of us is because Sheyeh Manhigos has been named La Torah. You will be the foundation of your homes. It's not going to be your husbands. You are going to be the foundation of your homes. And if you want to have a foundation of a home that is built on Torah, then it is important that you as a woman focus on the values that the Torah imparts to you in particular. And you need to understand what that responsibility is. It goes so beyond that. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, look at Rabbeinu Bechaya here. Sha'isha hatova, hi hasiba l'Torah. A good woman is the reason why Torah flourishes. Shehi achola lahamshech hasbena l'beis medrash, l'fi shehi metzuya b'bayis. A woman has the ability to encourage, to inspire, and to draw her children to learn and to be educated, more so than a man, more so than a father. A mother has a way with her children. A mother has a way to encourage them much better than anyone else in their lives. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, even when that child grows older and moves out of the parents' home, because of what they saw being transmitted in the home that they grew up in, they will then be able to continue to live a life based on those ideals. But it's a woman's responsibility more so than a man, because she has a much deeper relationship with children than a man does. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, we all need to take our responsibility very seriously. Beyond that, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Igeres HaTshuva that a woman also has the ability to encourage her own husband, not only her children. I don't believe that a woman has the job to be the mashkiach of her husband. I don't think that's the responsibility. I don't think it's a good idea. But at the same time, Rabbeinu Yonah does write that a woman does have the ability to encourage her husband. So he's going to come home one day and be very exhausted, very frustrated from whatever it is that happened in the office. And it's a woman who has the ability to refocus and to reframe and to tell him, this is not everything. There's a bigger part of your life that you should be focusing on. And yes, there's an opportunity for you to go and further your commitment to Torah and mitzvos and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, you have to go out for Maariv tonight. And that is something that is the foundation of our home. And says Rabbeinu Yonah, a woman is in a position to be able to do that. And that is why it is so important that women understand their relationship with Torah, that women understand the depth and profundity of Torah, and that women have the ability to then build the foundation for their own homes when they come to the study and understanding of Torah as well. When we talk about our relationship with Torah, it is important to mention the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sanhedrin that one of the first obligations that a king has when he takes upon himself the mantle of leadership, of leading the Jewish people, that he has to write a Sefer Torah or commission the writing of a Sefer Torah, and he has to read from that Sefer Torah his entire life. So says the Gemara, Nichnesas v'yotzes imo. If he goes out to war, the Sefer Torah has to come with him. If he goes into a meeting, Sefer Torah must always travel with him. Sefer Torah needs to be by his side throughout every experience and juncture of his life serving as the king. Now says the Gemara, what if you have a king who inherited the kingship from his father? His father was a king, and now the father passed away, and now you took over. So does he have to then commission the writing of his own Sefer Torah? Or do you say the same way he inherited the palace of his father, same way he inherited the position of his father, so too he inherits the Torah that his father wrote, and that will be sufficient? Says the Gemara, no. Afal pi shehinichu lo aviv Sefer Torah, mitzvah sheyichtov mishalo. Even if his father had commissioned the writing of the Sefer Torah, we all have an obligation to write our own Sefer Torah. What is the significance of that halacha, of that statement? My father always told us as children, the significance is as follows. And I can tell you personally, it's very challenging to grow up in the position that I grew up in and to understand this point and the profundity of it. Afal pi she'enichu lo aviv Sefer Torah means, even if our parents have developed a very meaningful relationship with the Torah or with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if our parents give us over so much of the rich legacy that they held on to and that they created, says the Gemara, mitzvah she'yichtov mishalo. We all have an obligation to write our own Sifrei Torah through the journey of our own lives. What does that mean? What it means is, we all have the opportunity to create our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is not connected to the relationship that our parents had. Of course, we build on the foundations that our parents gave us, but we all have a responsibility in our own lives to make our relationship with God one that is meaningful to us, one that we understand and that we appreciate. Va'afal pi shehinichu lo aviv Sefer Torah, and even if our parents had written their own Sifrei Torah in their lives, had made a rich and beautiful relationship with the religion or with God on their own, mitzvah sheyichtov mishalo. We all have the responsibility to find our place with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make it meaningful for us. And that is something that for some is a little bit easier than for others. Think about the Shemona Esrei. We say in the very first bracha of Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The Mabit in his Sefer on the Siddur wonders, why don't we just streamline that phrase and say Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov? Why do we have to single out Elokei Avram, one, Elokei Yitzchak is two, Ve'elokei Yaakov is number three. And the answer he writes is because what is trying to be highlighted in this bracha is that although Avraham Avinu built a beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his son Yitzchak was born into that relationship, and his father was the leader of the Jewish world, and his father was a very prominent personality, Yitzchak Avinu came into the world and said, that is not enough for me. I need to take this relationship and make it Elokei Yitzchak. I need to have a personal and private relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam myself. And without that, life won't be meaningful. It's not good enough to have whatever my father left over for me. Of course, I grew and I learned from all of the challenges that he had, from all the teachings that he gave over, from all the great values and lessons that he transmitted, but it has to go beyond that. There has to be an opportunity for me to develop a relationship that is going to be called Elokei Yitzchak. And Yaakov came along and he said, I could have lived life saying, I'm the grandson of Avraham Avinu. I'm the son of Yitzchak. Everybody knows who they are. My life is very easy. But Yaakov Avinu comes and says, no, I have a responsibility to create my own journey and to make sure that it's meaningful to me and to my family. And that is why he creates a relationship of Elokei Yaakov, which was not similar at all to Elokei Yitzchak or Elokei Avram. We know that each of the Avos had their own midah, had their own thing that they excelled in. Right? Yaakov Avinu is Ish Tam Yoshev Alim. Avram Avinu is Amuda Chesed. Does it mean that Chesed is better than this? No. It means they had different parts of religious life that spoke to them. Different parts of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were most meaningful to them. And that is what they needed to emphasize. That is what they needed to accent in their own personal lives. And that is the job that all of us have. For some who may come from a religious home, who come from a very strong background, maybe you'll find that this is very, very difficult. Because you have everything handed to you. There's nothing that you need to figure out on your own. You're just doing exactly what your parents have done and what they gave to you. But that is a great challenge, to whittle out and to fashion our own ability and our own relationship, our own perspective, and our own understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to each and every one of us individually. And that will someday be the foundation of all of your homes. As you bring your own families into this world, as you have the opportunity to bring your own transmission of the Torah into this world, as you become a part of that morasha, as you are entrusted to be the ones to give over this great heritage and this great legacy to those who will come way beyond you and way after your experience, it's important that the foundations be laid properly. And it's important that we all understand the responsibility that we hold. And says the Maharal, through the study of Torah Shebaal Peh, we realize that it's far more profound than studying Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebaal Peh is something that we embody. I become the embodiment of Torah Shebaal Peh. I am the Klaf. I am the Sefer Torah. Do you know? The Gemara says in Maseches Moed Katan, when you see somebody who passes away, if you are present when someone passes away, even if you are not a relative, even if you are not closely related to that person, but you are present when it happens, you have to rip kriya. You have to tear your garments. Why? So if I'm a relative, I'm tearing my garments because I'm so distressed, I'm so upset. This person, I have nothing to do with them. I have no relationship. I just happen to be in the hospital. I'm visiting. So why do I rip my garments? Now, if you're a highly sensitive person, it's because, oh, I'm so touched by this individual and I have a relationship, but that's not always the case. So why do I have to rip kriya, says the Gemara? Because it is doma l'sefer Torah shenisraf. When a person passes away, it's like a sefer Torah was just burnt. It's like we lost the sefer Torah. What does that mean? What it means is exactly what the Maharal says, that we all represent the Torah. We are not a separate entity from the Torah itself. We are the embodiment of everything that the Torah represents for the Jewish people. Ashreinu. How lucky we are that we have the opportunity to become the ambassadors, to become the people who transmit, to become the people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu has trusted to give this incredible heritage and this legacy to our children. And it's important that we do whatever we can to understand and to master the Torah Shebichsav as well as the Torah Shebaal Peh, that we should be able to have the opportunity in our lives to build these foundations, not only for ourselves, not only for our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but for all of those that we hope to inspire throughout the journey of our own lives. And I hope that throughout the course of our learning, we will have an opportunity not only to learn the details of Hilchos Shabbos, we will also have the opportunity to try to get a glimpse into the Torah Hashem, to be inspired a little bit along the way, to make sure that we are uplifted, that we remain focused on what our goals are, on what it is that we're supposed to be coming out of from all the Torah that we learn and all the Torah that we study. It is not simply academic. It is an opportunity for all of us to grow together, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come closer to an understanding of what He wants and expects of all of us. And I look forward to having that journey together with all of you. I wish you all